Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. As the show goes on today, we still have a lot to get to. Larry, the president of the Alamo, Texas Browns Backers, they're the top fundraising Browns Backers club for the 2014 Cleveland Browns Foundation fundraiser. He'll join us at 1:45. We're going to hand out our grades for this game against the Cincinnati Bengals, and I think it is going to be the best set of grades we have handed out all season long. That's coming up also at 2:15. We will have Rod Woodson, Hall of Fame cornerback, who will be covering this game on the radio for Westwood One. He'll give his thoughts on the Browns. He knows the AFC North very well from his time, obviously, with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He'll be with us at 2:15 after further review at 2:30. But we want to hear from you as the Browns return to work here on this Veterans Day. What are you most concerned about with the Browns going forward? Now that they're at 6-3, they've got Houston. What are your thoughts on that game? What are your thoughts on this team? Any Browns questions you have, let us know. 216-578-0850. But, Matt, we got a lot to digest. We've already had the Crow in studio. We had two great members, Brenton and Bradford Clark of the U.S. military, which was unbelievable to have them in here. Very humbling. I'll tell you what. Let's start with the Crow. Obviously, I'm a big fan of that guy. I think he's starting to get it. He's becoming more comfortable, obviously, with this media stuff, which is good to see. But I like that he knows he's got a place on this team, but he also has the supreme confidence in himself that if he ever gets the opportunity, he's going to run for 150 or 200 yards. That's what he does.
That's it. He was barking up your tree with that kind of language. And I think that's the expectation that we have for him. Again, averaging 4.6 yards a carry, you know, do the simple math. You know, with those types of rushes, and I think also, too, is you and I both know that he has the home run capability, those chunk run ability, which we're calling for him to play much more. But what I love is that a young, undrafted free agent rookie knows that there's a drafted rookie in front of him right now, and he talked about pushing each other in practice, pushing each other in meetings, and then also too is referring to the old vet to get their questions answered. You know, because if they're actively participating as a part of the game plan, they want to know the insides and outs of everything. Because I don't think Kyle Shanahan has a certain play that he calls just for this guy or just for that guy. So they've got to run the full gamut and be able to go in there cold and execute to know that they're going to get back on that field.
So take me inside that room, because you've got the two rookies who are playing very well. You've got Ben Tate, who came here on a two-year deal after being behind Arian Foster in Houston for his opportunity to be the guy. He's not the guy. Obviously, it's a two-man or a three-man running back by committee. How hard is it, honestly, for a veteran like Ben Tate to say, I want to impart my wisdom on these young guys who are here to take my job at a much cheaper price and potentially push me out of this building?
It's not the rosy answer that everybody might think, that, oh, he's my teammate and I'm going to put my arm over his shoulder. I'm not going to say that he's going to withhold information, but he's not going to be jovial and calling Terrence West and Isaiah Crowell, you know,
like, hey,
on tape. Swing over my house after practice today and we can review the tape and I'm going to teach you. No, it's none of that stuff going on. Ben Tate is giving him, is answering their questions when asked, but I'm sure most likely not volunteering any additional information to these guys.
Is that one of the harder dynamics in the NFL? Because you have such a short career, you have such a short opportunity to make money as it is, and when you bring in younger guys who are fresher and cheaper to the team, the economics of it matter. It's got to be a very tough situation to balance looking out for yourself, because ultimately, as much as we want to say these teams are going to look out for their players, it's a business, and you're going to try to put together the most efficient, successful, and economically, you know, fiscally responsible team that you possibly can, which means you're going to trend towards younger players unless you have superstars.
You're definitely right.
So that's got to be one of those kind of age-old battles that must go on in every locker room around the NFL.
It is. But that being said, Nathan, the one good thing about is this is a winning culture. That going on and them losing or hovering around 500 bodes for one of them not being a Brown next year, and Ben Tate being disgruntled and angry about the reps. But right now, you're riding high at 6-3 at the top of your division. You're like, I'm making, you know, my $2-4 million. It's not the expectations that I had for myself, and it's not the way I'm sure Ben Tate saw it going down, but he has to be happy. He's a part of a winning culture, and if he supplants himself as a part of the success, as a part of being aggravated or angry throughout the success, he'll be the first one to go. So if he's humble And he's taking it in and again, giving that information, but yet giving his all when his number is called. He could be here years down the road. But if at any point we see that angry side of him come out, that he'll be the first one to go because we know we have two guys that can play.
Is that something in the locker room when you're a veteran that's established and you know what your role is, like Carlos Dansby, Dante Winter, it is much easier to just disseminate information and be solely team-focused?
Yes.
Right. 100%. I mean, it's just got to be. It's just the nature of the beast. Well, this week, all three running backs got in the end zone. West, 26 carries, 94 yards and a touchdown. Crowell, 12 for 41. Of course, he scored a touchdown. And Ben Tate, 10 for 34, a touchdown as well. So all three had to be happy they got into the end zone. We're going to go to the phones, 216-578-0850. We've got John in Phoenix on the line. John, what a fine city you reside in. How's that sun treating you today?
Oh, man, it's awesome in Phoenix today. How are you guys doing?
I'm good. Billy Cundiff, actually, the kicker of the Browns, keeps a residence in Phoenix. I talked to him in the cafe. He said, that's where I was. He said, man, one Sunday to another Sunday. He's like, I'm going to go from a Sunday in Phoenix to a snowy Sunday in Cleveland in 1 week. He's like, I don't know about that.
Hey, man, Billy's awesome. I had to put him in a pinch on my fantasy team. He did a good job for me.
He's very good, yes.
Awesome. Yeah, I just wanted to share my insights. You know, I'm 46. I've been a Browns fan my whole life. You know, it's a birthright for me, born in Cleveland.
Yep.
But to see how the things are going today, man, I believe we got a good coach. You know, Hoyer, I really wasn't a fan of Hoyer in the beginning, but, you know, he proved me wrong, man. I had to go buy his jersey. Brian Hoyer is doing all right. I hope he proves it to everybody else in the end and gets the contract that he deserves so he doesn't go to somebody else, truthfully now.
Brian Hoyer, listen, at the end of the day, you got the hometown guy coming in here, leading this team, averaging 8 yards per attempt. He's got 10 touchdowns, only 4 interceptions. He's taking care of the football, which is good. He's been efficient in terms of his yards per attempt, 8.0. That's amongst the league leaders. So Brian Hoyer is doing a lot of things well, and what I continue to go back to is that I believe he is doing his best when it matters the most. And I think that you can overlook some of the inaccuracy. And yes, you could say, well, he's gotten away with this pass or he's gotten away with that pass. And that's fine. It's true. But at the end of the day, he's been making the plays that have allowed this offense to be as efficient as it has been with, by the way, not the best, you know, skill position talent around him. And I've been very impressed with what Brian Hoyer has done. And you look at the league leaders in yards per attempt among starting quarterbacks. You have Aaron Rodgers at 8.7, Romo at 8.3, Peyton at 8.2, and then Brian Hoyer at 8.0. So he has had just a phenomenally efficient season for this team, even though his accuracy at 58.5 is not anywhere near the league leaders.
No, it's not. And my take on Brian Hoyer is kind of still wait see. Yes, he's supplanted himself as the starter of this football season right now. And I think that for both sides, both the Cleveland Browns and Brian Hoyer, it works well for both sides to play out this season and let things unfold the way they will moving forward, because I think there's risk on both parties' behalf by getting something done in season. And I think, I mean, just look what happened to Arizona with Carson Palmer. You know, 2 days after he signs a $50 million extension, he tears his ACL. So that is, and I'm not saying an injury, you know, injury can happen, you know, walking down the stairs. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is let's keep the good going right now while we can. And we know what happened when contract talk happened in this city about, and also to the future of the quarterback position. Let's jump on Brian Hoyer's back and ride him through this season. As Ray Farmer said a week and a half ago in his mid-season presser, is his contract expires at the end of the year. So this team is going to get the most out of Brian Hoyer and win as many games as we can this season, and we'll determine what we do with him when the season is over.
Well, to me, what's so exciting about Brian Hoyer's game is that while he may not be the guy who's going to walk you down the field and pick you apart in the short and intermediate game, he is all of a sudden turned into one of the best downfield passers in the NFL. He's been unbelievable. 21 of 39 on passes thrown more than 20 yards in the air for 703 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. So his accuracy percentage, 56.4, second best in the league, only behind Drew Brees. His 703 yards on deep passes are third most in the league, behind only Ben Roethlisberger and Andrew Luck. Well, the difference is Roethlisberger, 52 attempts of 20 yards or more, so he's playing hook football. Andrew Luck's got 46, Hoyer 39. So he's the most efficient in terms of yards per attempt, averaging 18 yards per attempt on passes of 20 yards or more in the air.
And Nathan, again, the great
without thing, Josh Gordon.
Without Josh Gordon and Jordan Cameron for half of those football games.
Yep.
And also, too, the point that I sit back and take is just listen to the names. that you categorize Brian Hoyer with in all those statistics? Ben Roethlisberger, Andrew Luck, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers. Did you say Peyton Manning in the first one?
I did.
Correct. I mean, you're talking all of those continuing on the pace with which they play will be Hall of Famers in the National Football League.
And it goes to what you were saying to Isaiah Crowell: when they're not passing the ball to the backs, it's because they're utilizing play action and they're pushing it down the field. The down the field stats show that. And then the play action stats show that as well. Brian Hoyer, 94 attempts off of play action. That is fourth most in the NFL. Brian Hoyer as well throwing for 925 yards off play action. So more than half of his yards. That's the most in the league. 10.3 yards per attempt. Fourth most in the league. Behind who? Rivers, Manning, Romo. Again, and who's he ahead
of? Not shabby company.
And then number five is Rodgers. Number six is Tom Brady. So this is a good group. The only person that doesn't belong in the top 10 in terms of yards per attempt off play action, probably Ryan Fitzpatrick. The others are Andrew Luck, Drew Brees, Roethlisberger.
And again,
so
my
good company.
Absolutely. Great company. And again, my comments are, you got to love where Brian Hoyer sits right now. And I think why in which a contract right now or contract talk at all right now is because everybody, Brian included, is betting on himself to continue to stay amongst that company for the next seven games. And if we do so, it trends extremely high and well that we'll have a home playoff appearance at First Energy Stadium.
Yep. And again, quarterback rating off play action. It goes in order like this: Rivers, Rodgers, Brees, Brady, Roethlisberger, Hoyer. So he's making the most of it there. And he's going to get Josh Gordon back. He's going to get Andrew Hawkins back. He's going to get Jordan Cameron back. Two Pro Bowlers and the guy who's been the leading receiver this season. Didn't even play against Cincinnati, and yet the Browns waxed them 24-3. Definitely good times ahead, I think, for this offense with a defense that's beginning to peak. Our guy Reggie is in Youngstown now. Reggie, welcome to the show.
So good to be talking to you guys. You guys are my guys.
Thank you, man. What's
You're
up,
our
Reg?
Guy.
You're our guy, Reggie. That's right.
Hey, guys. How about it, man? I'm listening to you guys, what you're saying. Man, tell the truth, fellas. Isn't it beautiful that the Browns have these type of problems to have to decide on? It's lovely, man, having three backs like we got, you know, that any of them can do the job. That's a beautiful thing, man.
It is a beautiful thing, and
that's
it is
a beautiful thing.
What I
beautiful.
Think is so impressive about what's happened this offseason is you looked at a team last year that had some glaring holes in terms of talent, holes they could not fill, and all of a sudden in one offseason, Ray Farmer, through adding veterans, adding impact players through the draft, and then adding impact players that were undrafted free agents, he has created a team that has depth seemingly everywhere, and a team that's withstood. I think Ben Tate has missed significant time. Kaywan has missed time. He was a guy who, you know, you didn't know about, and all of a sudden has been playing very well in the secondary. Obviously, Alex Mack out, Nick McDonald, a guy Ray Farmer signed this offseason off of a motorcycle injury. So I think that the transformation of this roster, where you're now getting significant contributions from just about everybody on the 53 on a weekly basis, has been massive for this team.
No doubt. And see, Nathan, that's where my question yesterday for Jason Lockenfora was more directed, that we understand that Ray Farmer, you have to build with young talent in today's NFL to continue to stay good. But I just thought of, you know, with us winning football games and having more of a national focus being spotlighted on Cleveland and also to a potential playoff spot, we become a sexy place to reproject your career, as we see Carlos Dansby and Dante Whitner doing. You know, guys who've been there and done that in this National Football League, maybe get, and again, not get a payday just to take a payday, but to take a payday and close their career the way they want to, making good money with a solid organization that is trending upwards when it comes to a year-in, year-out competition standpoint and making the playoffs. That's what I'm saying. So a combination of draft and a couple significant free agents, which we know Ray Farmer did this year, doing that again, just look how much better this roster will get and how much more competition it will breed within the 53-man.
Well, just think about, as you pointed out, it's one thing to bring in veterans, and a lot of times a high-priced guy in free agency can be fool's gold, but the Browns have gotten significant contributions from pretty much everybody that they have brought in. You look at Whitner and Dansby on the defensive side of the ball. You look at Hawkins and Austin, the two leading receivers on the team, on the offensive side of the ball. Then you look at, you know, Paul McQuiston filled in when he had to fill in on the offensive line. You've got a great group of, for Jim Dre has played very well. Caught the ball whenever it's thrown to him. Literally 13 targets, 10 catches, 144 yards and a touchdown. They block. It's just been a great job of bringing these people in. Marlon Moore has been a great special teams contributor brought in by Ray Farmer. And you look at just the offense. Brian Hoyer, the quarterback, was here for three games last year. Obviously, he is the quarterback this year. 2,221 yards, 10 touchdowns. Then at running back, Terrence West, 396 and three touchdowns. Ben Tate, 341 and four touchdowns. Isaiah Crowell, 297 yards, five touchdowns. So between them, that's already 12 rushing touchdowns on the ground, over 1,000 yards rushing. Last year's running backs, nobody got to 400 yards. They had four touchdowns on the season. So he's made an impact there. The receivers that have been brought in that are leading this team in every feasible category, Andrew Hawkins, Miles Austin, Taylor Gabriel, free agent, undrafted free agent, and then Travis Benjamin, 14 catches, 246 yards, three big touchdowns there as well to lead the pass catchers. But it has been a team that has really been put together in some ways in 1 year, building around the core pieces that were here, and then putting in, plugging holes, and just a great job of identifying, sourcing, and procuring talent for this team.
Now, I can't agree with you more. And again, they get more and more attractive with every win. And I think it's not only, you don't have to play those national games. You look at guys who may have expiring contracts in the teams that we're playing. You know, and they look and see the way Coach Pettine coaches his football team, the way in which the players play for the coach, and also, too, the productivity, both offensively and defensively. They say to themselves, and I've been there, they go, I could see myself showcasing my talents there and fitting into their scheme and doing really well. And then you literally leave that stadium, you know, and in some cases, yes, Houston is out of the playoff race. In most cases, you go, you call your agent and go, hey, man, Cleveland doesn't seem like it's all bad. That place was packed. They were loud. They were crazy. They're winning. You know, they're competitive. Get Ray Farmer on the phone. That's where I want to go next offseason.
And how much does it matter? Because obviously the job Mike Pettine's done is something that can't be overstated. Everybody's listening now as a Coach of the Year candidate, as he should be. But we talked about all the new pieces that are in here, and yet he's gotten the best out of everybody. And you hear all the players talk about how much they like playing for him, how he's a real guy. How much does that factor into free agent decisions? Obviously, money's number one, but playing for a coach that you would like to play for in a winning organization, which hopefully the Browns are on the way to being, how much does that really matter?
It matters, and I think the greatest thing about the whole scenario and the culture that has changed with Coach Mike Pettine is when rookies or free agents come in next year, they don't need to be re-groomed by this coaching staff or Coach Mike Pettine. The locker room controls them because they act a certain way, they practice a certain way, they're held to a certain standard that Coach Mike Pettine has set, and if those draft picks or free agents don't live up to it, they're going to be in and out of here very quickly as well.
I like it. When we come back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, appreciate the phone calls. We are going to check in with the president of the Alamo, Texas Browns backers. These groups all over the country, the largest fan organization in the world, folks. We are going to talk with the president of that group about their great fundraising efforts, what they have done, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So that'll be coming up next. We'll wrap up our first hour. We'll hand out some grades to start off hour number two. Got Rod Woodson at 2:15 after further review at 2:30, plus your phone calls all throughout, 216-578-0850. Zagur and Wilhelm on CBD and ESPN 850 WKNR.